Welcome. This is Max and Friends Sunday Supper on LA Talk Radio. I'm Jennifer English, and I'm guest hosting tonight for my dear friend Max Tucci, who actually is going to be joining us a little later on in the show with some extraordinary and exciting news. And I don't want to give too much, but the one and only Flo Fab, Florence Fabricant from the New York Times this week, made a break in news to share what Max is going to come and give us the inside scoop and the backstory of. But yes, as you are likely to imagine, it has a lot to do with Delmonico's restaurant in New York City, America's first fine dining restaurant. And all I'm going to say is get ready. Every week, Max, for over 15 years, has been welcoming his friends to his table in the spirit of his grandfather, Oscar Tucci, the proprietor and owner of Delmonico's restaurant, who said, "All are welcome at my table." He didn't just say that, he meant it. He meant it in the time when restaurants around the country were still segregated, he welcomed one and all. There was a time when the restaurant world was a place more of a lack of hospitality and welcoming than of true welcoming. And the actions and the spirit of Oscar Tucci welcoming Christine Jorgensen and Lena Horne and Rock Hudson and so many other people who've gone on to make extraordinary history in their own right, welcome at his table. That was the kind of vibe that was created through the act of generosity and welcoming that he became famous for. And it was in that spirit that he taught restaurateurs who would lead another generation, restaurateurs like Cirio Maccioni from Le Cirque, who then taught people like Danielle Ballou, who are still welcoming us to their tables today. The legacy of welcoming and hospitality is one that we celebrate here every week on Max and Friends in the hope that everything we do is for the greatest good of everybody that's here with us. We do everything we do with love. And love becomes one of those powerful words that we share both as an intention and as an inspiration. So in June, throughout much of North America, it was Pride Month. And in certain places around North America, July becomes Pride Month. And it was making me chuckle when I was thinking about how to introduce our star guest for tonight. I was thinking about Pride and how the world has changed and the world of media has changed. And I was thinking about this in some detail. And in the news today, we learned that Reverend Steve Peters, who was one of the pioneering voices in the AIDS movement, a real advocate and activist in his own right, with love and with strength and certainly with a lot of courage. He went public in the 1980s, but maybe one of his most famous moments came in an interview on Tammy Faye Baker's show that has recently come back into the limelight in the movie that featured the Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, interviewing him and changing people's attitudes in the 1980s and 90s about HIV and AIDS and what it meant to be gay. The conversation has, over the last 40 years, gone in a very positive, powerful direction in a lot of ways. And yet, the Human Rights Campaign in Washington, D.C., just a few weeks ago, declared a state of emergency for the LGBTQ community in North America and around the world. Things that had been hard won and hard fought for were being scratched back, clawed back in time, back in attitudes, not all the way back into the closet, but to a scarier place than any of us have remembered in a long time, so much so that Sir Elton John had to come out publicly and say things like, "This is just not okay." I'll say it, it's no bueno, it's not good. So who do we have and where do we go and what do we do? There's a part of me that wants to say to the Supreme Court or anybody that's listening that if you are going to retract and take back some of the laws and legislations and rulings that have made it safer and a little more equal for everybody in this community, we have to be reminded that until it's safe and equal for everyone, it's not safe and equal for anyone. So I was thinking about all of this, and if you take back and say that I don't have to serve a customer that comes into my restaurant by virtue of the fact that they're gay, I have to imagine that the only way we're going to have the opportunity to keep things equal is to claim another month. So we're already at June and July. I say if they make one more rule that takes away something, we just got to go for August as well. Our first and superstar guest of tonight's show was named by OutTV as one of Canada's top 10 LGBTQ people making a difference. Barb Snellgrove is a great broadcaster, a legendary broadcaster. In the realm of legendary broadcasters, she brings a voice and a point of view and a courage and a bravery that has led her to become the co-producer and host of Queer FM, Canada's longest-running queer radio show. She's a contributor to Outlook TV, OutTV. She writes frequently. She's won prizes. She's an ambassador for I Love Gay, a social first. And she is an inductee into the Canadian Queer Hall of Fame. She's been recognized by so many organizations. There's not enough time for us to acknowledge all of them. She's active in her activism and her leadership and her humanity. You can find her all over social media on Megamouth Media, but today she joins us. Now, I am thrilled and honored to welcome my former colleague at Roundhouse Radio, Barb Snellgrove, where we spent time together behind the microphone a few years ago at one of the best gigs I ever enjoyed doing on one of the greatest radio stations that I think ever existed, Roundhouse Radio. And it was great because you were there. You made us all feel like we had risen into the ranks of the all-star league that it was. Barb Snellgrove, welcome back. And boy, it's good to see you and catch up. How are you?
Thank you very, very much, Jennifer. And thank you very much for having me on the show. I don't even think we could fit my head anymore in with the screen that I'm viewing you on. But and yes, to Roundhouse Radio, it really was literally ahead of its time at the time.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the fact that you are still currently hosting the longest running queer radio show in Canada. And so for you, this is kind of a busman's holiday, having to get behind the mic one more time. But for me, this is such a treat to have you at my table. I would cook for you. I would make you some tea. I'd make you a drink, whatever you wanted. I am so greedy and grateful that you're here with us. I know Max Tucci is as well. And I wanted to start by asking you about broadcasting. Mm-hmm. In your career, where you started and where you are today, I'm gonna ask you to tell us a little bit about that story. Did you start out as an intentionally gay broadcaster talking about and being an activist for this community?
I am what I am, as Popeye would say. I always have just been who I am. And so anything you're going to get of me on radio or in print or on television is going to have a big fat Q in the front of it. That's for sure.
We love the Eunice of you, which is why we love you.
The Eunice of you. I'll be Eunice from now on. That'll be my phrase. My drag.
That'll be your room, so to speak.
It's interesting. It's been a long run. It's been, well over a decade with Queer FM and then some. I think I was doing inserts. It was when I was involved in putting on the parade in Vancouver many, many moons ago. And I started doing inserts for it was Heather Kitching at the time was the host of Queer FM. And came on to do the Oscars report. I would do my Oscars because I'm infamous for nailing just about all of them. Actually, I should probably rephrase that, shouldn't I? nailing all the correct answers. I mean, TMZ just got an alert somewhere. TMZ just got an alert to check this chick out in Vancouver. She's nailing everyone in Hollywood. That's anyone. And it sort of went from there. I introduced media and marketing to the Pride Parade, which I hadn't had before. So, you know, it was a segue that kind of just morphed organically. You know, that was the time to do it. And it's been running ever since. And myself and current partner in crime on the show, co-producer and co-host DJ Denise Fraser, and I are having a great time. Absolutely love it. We almost need to have that global, map with the pins. Yeah. Because we have just interviewed so many people in so many different, areas of culture. And it's interesting to see how much we were growing and how well we were doing. And then, you know, just kind of see it starting to take a little bit of a step backwards, as you were, mentioning at the beginning of the show. Unfortunately, especially in the States, but it has trickled over this side of the and of course worldwide. So it's disheartening. You would think it would continue to be such a positive thing, but now when we do our news on the show, it's just trying to find positive news as opposed to everything that we're seeing these days with regards to 2S LGBTQIA plus people. But
I want to talk a little bit about queer media. Mm-hmm. When I was a young person, there wasn't queer anything. We have to remind people that not that long ago, this was not something that we would see or hear. And for those of us that were young people at the time, it's not like we could look in the media landscape and see ourselves very many places portrayed in very positive ways. And there was this very different place that we were pre-social media, pre-internet. Mm-hmm. When did you become a broadcaster? Was this something that was a lifelong dream of yours? Because you're really, really genius at it. And I have to imagine that you had to be relatively young when you found your gift for broadcasting. What happened that you got behind a mic or got in front of a TV camera?
Well, with the moniker Megamouth Media, it's often I didn't need a mic a lot of the time, but it was just kind of it literally was one of those things where, you fall into it. You were meant to be doing what you're doing. And obviously absolutely adore doing it. I love broadcasting. The gift of gab is born to some of us, and a lot of us, luckily enough, get into broadcasting because of it. I had actually, when I started, I was doing more on the PR side, but I was also, because of my reputation and work within the community here in British Columbia and Canada, I did a lot of emceeing of things, and that's everything from game shows to, formal corporate events to fun events and fundraisers. And, that is just talking with a microphone, which is just an extension in its own way. And I started doing television through Outlook Television and TV. And then, I just all of a sudden the opportunity to do Queer FM fell in my lap. And I have been running with it ever since. Absolutely love it.
Let's talk a little bit about the idea of visibility. Mm-hmm. And how important it is for communities to have a voice, to have a place, to have a platform. Mm-hmm. I think we take for granted in a time of social media, even just a few years after we had our time at Roundhouse Radio, the world is profoundly different today because of social media, both in terms of the social audio apps like Clubhouse, mm-hmm. things like Threads, Instagram Live and Reels and even, Twitch and TikTok. There are literally an nearly infinite number of places to have a conversation and to host an idea. How important is it for communities to have that place, to have a place to have their conversation, to showcase and to inspire? What has your experience been like that proves that point to you?
I absolutely agree with you 100% on board. I mean, the whole thing around humans is community and family and, we go back to caveman days, it's gathering around the fire and telling stories. And that hasn't changed. You know, the only thing we've seen is that folks don't necessarily have to go to bars anymore. With and speaking, of course, to us LGBTQIA plus community. You know, bars used to be where we gathered as chosen family. And now with social media, it has just opened it up so much. I mean, you know, gosh, 15 years ago, you and I wouldn't be able to have this conversation and look at each other while we're talking, you know, on the phone. In the privacy of our own homes kind of a thing. So in some ways, it's been a huge help because it brings, especially within the queer community, it brings everyone, you know, disabled, stay-at-homes are able to communicate every bit as freely and clearly as, you know, a young twink or a bear or, you know, the golfing sporty lesbian or whatever stereotype you want to come up with. Everyone has a seat at the table with social. Having said that, though, we are a community that has been historically gone up, and social media has every bit as much ugly as it has good. And we are seeing, you know, the increase in cyberbullying, especially within queer youth, and just bullying in general. That you know, it's a double-edged sword. You know, we've come so far, but have we taken two steps forward, or are we taking one step back?
What do we need? What don't we have at the moment that we want to inspire somebody that's with us tonight to consider bringing as a gift to the community? I can think of a bunch of things. I'd love to see game shows. I'd love to see something other than Queer Eye, because Queer Eye is great, but, you know, there's nothing like that for the women's community. And when we talk about this community that we're all a part of, and the broader we become and the more we welcome and the more people that join us from, you know, all the fluidity that gender gives us today to all the abilities that gender gives us today and physical ability and opportunity that we have, we are more than we've ever been. And yet it feels like there's a really limited slate for us.
Sure is. You know, when you look at, you know, the 1 in 6 and 300 million or how many millions, hundreds of millions of people are there in North America, including Mexico, if we were to just look at that way, we're, you know, really poorly represented in terms of radio and television. Having said that, there's Logo, there's Out Television, you know, there's Outlooks, and sure, there's any number of local TV stations operating or online operating. I am surprised with the onset of social that it hasn't exploded more.
Yeah, I am surprised by that
more
too.
Offerings. I mean, there's lots of parody. But when you have basically Queer Eye and RuPaul as mainstream successes, you know, that we have to go on, because, you know, why? I mean, I'm sure that there's an audience. I mean, we've seen it with RuPaul and we've seen it with, but, you know, in the industry we're in, it's dollars and cents, of course. And how much money can we bring in with it? And it also has to, you know, be able to go to a larger audience and to be able to be, you know, so.
Well, and we tried that this year, and look what happened with Bud Light.
Yeah. Well, dear Lord. Yeah. That backfired. And as a PR person, boy, did that backfire for Bud Light. You know, they didn't handle that one well, but that's a horse of a different of a different color. We'd be.
I want to invite. We've got another guest that's joining us on the show tonight, but I'm going to bring him in a couple minutes early because I want him for this part of this conversation. Akash Patel is a luxury style expert. He's based in Manhattan, and he is joining us from the shadow underneath the Empire State Building. Akash Patel, how are you? And if we can get him, he'll join us.
I'm here. Hello, Jennifer. Hi, how are you?
I want to introduce you to my very good friend, Barb Snellgrove, who is a pioneer and a Hall of Famer in both the queer community and the broadcast community in Canada. And we're having a conversation that we just have to bring you into right now. How are you?
I'm great. Nice to meet you, Barbara. I have been listening in and hearing the whole conversation already, so...
Thank you. And please feel free to call me Barb. It's only Barbara when you're in trouble with your parents.
Akash, as somebody who studies the media and is very fluent in both Web3 and the future of media and the future of communication as much as we are in the present of it right now. And as somebody that has co-hosted with me on Clubhouse at the Future Food and Hospitality, I'm really struck by the conversation we're having with Barb right now about this topic, because if we can't nail it in, you know, sort of Web2 and World 2.0 where we are right now, and where Barb rightly points out that we are not only underrepresented, we're both kind of surprised that it hasn't hit more and done more and bloomed more as it could have. What the hell are we going to do in Web3 if we can't even get Web2 right, or even Web 2.5 right? What do you think about that?
Well, I think society is changing in a way that is so different from before that it's hard for anybody to understand, right? There's the way that we classify people, the way by people identify, there's more terms than most people understand, right? Mm-hmm. So that makes it complicated when you're trying to say, hey, here's something different. Let me explain to you or educate you. But then there's too many things that are different, and the level of how far that goes is very, like, drastic, right? So what that does, like, there's that good and bad, but the problem is it makes it hard to focus on, like, one finite point. So people are asking lots of questions, and then it creates confusion. So I think, like, you know, we, like, you can identify as a furry. I was having a conversation, and my friend was like, what is that? And I was like, I don't know how to explain it exactly. You need to Google it yourself. I couldn't even explain it myself because I don't fully understand, even though I do understand, but that's new to me, right? And I know in the reason I'm familiar with this is in Canada, someone I know said that a child can decide that they are, their identity is a furry. I think in America, we're not that progressive yet.
All right. Well, we're going to turn to our friend Barb, who is not only a member of the Queer Hall of Fame in Canada, but as somebody who has been one of the most extraordinary hosts through the blooming of the Pride experience over the last decade or two, in which everyone was invited and made to feel welcome. She's done more in her time to make people feel seen and heard and validated. And when we turn to the history of Max's family, where they say, I see you, I hear you, and you matter, nobody has really brought that to life the way that Barb Snellgrove has. She's our guest. And just before we take a break at the halfway point of the show, I wanted to ask her, in her role as someone who's really brilliant and genius and generous at making people feel welcome, how has that evolved in your career as the host of Pride to make people feel welcome? Is it constantly being updated for you? And how are you managing to stay in the spirit of welcoming for anybody that comes along that's now, as we're just hearing from Akash, part of this community, whether it's furry or anything beyond the traditional start of the LGBTQ. Mm-hmm. How do you do that?
Big hugs. And I'm a middle child. So it all kind of comes from that, right? You know, you got to make sure that everybody is welcome. I don't care what your makeup is. Every human being, period. You know, every human being has a seat at the table, and every human being has a right to be heard, to be validated, and to be appreciated, and to be loved. And it is, increasingly becoming a world where we're divided. And, part of what Akash was speaking to is a big, because there's just so many labels now, and the more labels we make, the more we need or feel the need to label. And so there has to be a point where you're just saying, you're welcome. You're good. You're absolutely fabulous, exactly the way you are. Don't worry about it, because we're getting ourselves. There's just so many flies buzzing around our heads, and we just concentrate on that beautiful bee that's sitting in the flower in front of us.
Yeah. Barb, was it easier when we just used the word gay? And was there something so simplistic about that monolithic notion that made it possible to get as far as we got? Would we have not done as well, to Akash's point, if we had been so diffuse and complicated with inclusion the way he's now describing?
Well, it's also, you know, keep in mind that the presence has always been there, but more the vocal proponent of it. We're making people aware of the various, you know, gender fluid, non-binary, pansexual, asexual, you know, all of these different areas that in some people's heads, they're like, well, it's muddling it up and I don't get it. And yeah, sure, gay was easier. It was one simple word, but it's much more complicated than that. And you know, if it makes someone feel better to be they, them, you know, who cares? I mean, really, how much work is it? Other, you know, I change my signature line of my emails. And when I introduce myself in speaking engagements, I introduce myself as she, her. And that takes nothing. It takes no time, but it means so much to some people out in that audience. Wherever, whether it's, you know, sitting in front of you or listening as people are now, how difficult is it? And it really does come down to a, you know, if we could all be a little nicer, because we're creating these silos. And that's where a lot of the problem is that, you know, everyone wants their voice to be heard. And are we all, you know, quote unquote, using an old phrase, the gay community anymore, fighting for the same thing? Because we are, you know, and as you said at the start of the show, you know, if all of us aren't free, none of us are free. Yep. So there's a lot of this back and forthing going on. And I see a separation, you know, that is happening. And it's I understand where it's coming from. You know, it's easy for me as a privileged white lesbian to sit here and say, yeah, sure, we should just all call ourselves gay. It's so much easier. But, you know, there are people that need to be heard, and they need people to understand when they say, oh, yeah, you're gay. And it's like, well, no, I'm not. I'm trans, or I'm gender fluid, or I'm non-binary. And then they have to explain it all, you know, all every single time they introduce themselves. So it's their time to shine. It's their time to make their voices heard. And it really hasn't been that long that they've had that opportunity to get those voices heard.
Barb, do organizations bring you in to coach them on how to be more respectful and welcoming? Do people ask you all the time, how can I help? How can I make things better? How can I make a difference? How can I personally change something about what it is that I do to be part of the solution?
Yeah, I don't do it as much as I should. I think there's probably a little market there, and I can be reached on social media at Megamoth.
No, I'm not joking. I really want to highlight that, because I think it's an imperative. I think every single human resources placement agency should have you on speed dial. Because if that organization, if they care enough to bring in the right person for the right job, they have to have the right organization in which to welcome them.
I think,
because you can't tell me.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you can't tell me that if the best coder out there or the best engineer out there can only be this narrow thing, and it's something that we never considered before, how is any organization ready for anybody that's going to come along now, unless they talk?
Yeah, and there are people that are, I mean, I was at a house party not too long ago, and there was a number of women there that worked in the human resources side. And one of them turned around and went, the pronouns thing. How does that work? And you know, I made it sound simplistic, but she genuinely wanted to know.
Yeah.
Because, and I said, okay, well, first off, don't say what are your preferred pronouns, because it's not a preference. It's not like saying, you know, gay is a lifestyle. It's not a lifestyle. It's what I am. And so I explained to them the pronouns. And I basically, you know, by the time I was done, I said, it's the same thing that I mentioned here tonight. It's, how difficult is it for me to say I'm she, her, and to add on a signature line if it makes someone else feel, you know, good? And I think it's really, really important that we do make room for everyone's voice at the table, because you know, there's a lot of people too that are, you know, making or trying to make their way in what may seem like a very confused sexual landscape, for want of a better phrase, I guess. And there's so much going out there because, again, you know, with social media, you've got everything coming at you. You've got information that validates you. And then you've got people that want to hate on you so badly, right. You know, it's really difficult to do both. So there needs to be that element of our community. And some of this fighting is infighting within our own community. Right. You know, in terms of whether or not it's, you know, other letters should be in there or, you know, it's just like, look, we're all in this together, folks. We have all historically been gone at. And, you know, yeah. You had mentioned love is the most important thing. And for those of us who've had the opportunity and the history and the experience to know how to traverse through this landscape, let's send out the love and let's be there for them as our younger generations come up through the ranks. Because it's a hell of a lot. I think it's a hell of a lot harder in some ways for many of the queer youth out there than it was when I was young.
In what way?
Oh, well, nowadays.
Well, social media. I mean, yeah. Life in general is hard. Akash, help me here. Social media. I mean, Barb, how do you mean it?
You know, I'd like to offer a perspective of something that you guys might not have thought about. And this is something that came to me through being part of the NYU community, which is a lot younger, right? One of the things that was brought up, because NYU is a very progressive institution and having like gender neutral bathrooms and all of this stuff, like ahead of the curve, being that they're in New York and, you know, it's a leading thought leadership in terms of like moving forward in the world. And one of the things that was brought to my attention was that there are some people also that do not like being asked their pronouns. So just like some people want to say their pronoun, there's also this other movement that I was interested to just learn, that people who don't want to be asked their pronoun. So when you start thinking about that much complication, mm-hmm. that some people are trying to say, hey, this is my identity, I want to express myself. Then you have other people who are saying, don't ask me that question. Think about how complicated that is to navigate, because you've got both sides on the opposite side and you're trying to satisfy both, and they're almost opposite tensions. So I think the change of views generationally, I think the thing of like what identity means to people and based on their struggle is very different. And I think there's a disconnect with each segment and generation of like how people connect, because even though a struggle might be different, then people also find their struggle to be different than the people who might be trying to connect. And I think that's finding the similarities and then also embracing the differences together is like really the trick to
finding a happy medium. Yeah, beautifully put, that last part, finding the similarities. And yeah.
Well, and that's where the love comes in. And that's where we all bring the openness to it. And the threat that we face is in a world that is increasingly threatening. If we start closing off, it means that we're not going to be there to receive the invitation. All are welcome at my table with the openness that deserves. Mm-hmm. We have to show up as open as the invitation that comes to us. Of course, all are welcome at my table is a phrase that is famously connected to Oscar Tucci, Max Tucci, the host of this show, and the grandson of Oscar Tucci joins us from his Delmonico farm in upstate New York, where he has some big news. But I want to introduce you to my friend Barb Snellgrove, who is a colleague from Roundhouse Radio Days and one of the pioneering broadcasters in Canada, representing the queer community, and is certainly one of the most important voices in this community in Canada today. And of course, Akash Patel is here as well. Max, welcome to your own show.
Thank you. Thank you. Hi, all. Welcome to the table indeed. Well, you know, this is one table I know I'm always welcome at, not only because it's, you know, Max and friends, but because it's a table where, you know, we set it for all. We set it for all to come. You know, there's a wonderful quote that I remember from being a young boy raised in a black church. And it said, you know, come as you are. And I think that's such a beautiful reminder. Come as you are. And so tonight I'm coming to the show. You know, we had a quite a day here at the farm with there's torrential rains that are falling. And so one thing I would like for you all to think about tonight is to think about the farmers. I read about a farmer today in Connecticut who lost 120 acres of land due to the flooding. So, you know, there's that famous quote, no farms, no food. So we've had some flooding here at the farm, but, you know, we've managed and it's been a very long day. So thank you all for holding down the fort at Max and Friends. You know, I'm so appreciative and grateful. And I'm listening to the show because the LA Talk Radio app is free. If you want to tune in there, and we're on all podcasting platforms, which will be tomorrow. So, you know, I'm listening along, Jennifer, and, you know, I just adore you. And Barb, welcome to the show. And Akash, thank you for being here. And I love listening to Max and Friends. This is a great episode.
We're going to take a break, not for music, but for a culinary interlude. This week in the New York Times, the legendary Florence Fabricant broke some news that took everyone up a notch and delighted us to no end. We're going to let you share what the big news is as reported by Florence Fabricant in the New York Times this week. Max, what's your news?
Flo Fab. Well, there was a rumor on the streets. And if you're following me on Instagram at Max Tucci, you've been hearing these rumors. And the rumor that Flo Fab, as the industry calls her, reported was that I'm involved with Delmonico's. And so indeed it is true. I will leave you all with a cliffhanger, because I'm not going to tell you exactly to what extent. But yes, Florence did beautifully write that Delmonico's will be reopening, which is exciting, in September, but it's open now for private parties. So you can definitely DM me or email me, maxtucci@theoriginaldelmonicos.com, and book your private party. And then come in August, we'll be doing a la carte reservations. So make your reservations there. But I am definitely involved. The Tucci family is back in the building. So we're releasing wonderful videos. And one that I love that's going to be coming up is, hi, I'm Max Tucci, and welcome back to Delmonico's.
Oh, I love that. Congratulations.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So exciting.
Thank you. And, you know, in the thread, really, and the fabric of this show tonight, you know, Oscar Tucci, yes, all are welcomed at my table. But what did that really mean? And how do we, as Jennifer says, take it one step further? So for those that know, Kristen Jorgensen was America's first transgender woman. She had the first surgeries. And in a very macho industry, when it was happening, many rejected Kristen Jorgensen from their table. And Oscar welcomed her to Delmonico's, and the two became friends. And Oscar took heat for it. You know, it wasn't like everyone accepted her at Delmonico's. So Oscar was like, no, all are welcomed at my table. They became friends. And for those that know the history and the life of Kristen Jorgensen, we say her name because there's that beautiful African proverb that says, every time you say my name, my spirit lives on, right? So, Kristen Jorgensen and Oscar were friends. They were pals. And Kristen used to perform for Oscar at Delmonico's. And they had a wonderful friendship. And that just shows you the many facets of Oscar really welcoming all to the table. Lena Horne was welcomed to the table when most restaurants wouldn't even really allow her inside. And when we really go back to Delmonico's, you know, the visionary of the Delmonico brothers, the visionaries that they were, by allowing, and I say that word only because, you know, that's what they used, but allowing women to dine for the first time unaccompanied by men in 1868. So what does that mean for a restaurant who's always constantly opening doors to welcome all to the table? Opening doors to say, I see you, I hear you, and you matter. In a world of hospitality, in a world of conviviality, we're all really supposed to be welcome, right? Mm-hmm. And all are coming to experience such a grand event like Delmonico's dinners were, and being able to be served without anyone judging you in the restaurant, right? So you can sit at that table and you can authentically be you, and you can indulge in a meal, and you can feel seen and heard and told that you were mattered. And so that's really the essence of Delmonico's, not only from Oscar Tucci, but from also from the Delmonico brothers dating back to the 1800s, when women were welcome to the table when they weren't allowed to be at tables. So I'm going to be echoing a lot of Oscar's beautiful quotes. I'm going to be also really just shining bright in his footsteps. And of course, naturally, my father, Mario, my aunt, Mary, and of course, my grandmother, Sesta, ancestors. So they've paved this way for me to be able to say, and I say it again, welcome back to Delmonico's.
Max, I'm going to take this minute. We've got about 6 minutes left until the end of the show, and I'd love to have this conversation because this is a moment in time where you are preparing to welcome all to your table. And it leads back to the question of who we are and how we see ourselves and where we feel welcome. How we feel welcome. What does it take to feel welcome? And so I think of all the work that Barb has done, both in her broadcasting career and her ongoing broadcasting work, in her role as one of the pioneers in the Pride experience in Canada. And for all of you, I'm going to throw this out there. Are we well served in going to the biggest, most important place, the Delmonico's of broadcasting? Think of it this way. The CBC or NBC, ABC, CBS. Do we go to the biggest, most important platform we have and say, when you say to me, I welcome you here, that it's more important to be welcomed, I see you, I hear you, and you matter in the big institutional framework that we have, or is it important for us to have our segregated platform in which to have this conversation? Is it more important that the segregation continue to identify and create a place? Where should we focus our attention in our broadcasting opportunity that is presenting itself to be more welcoming? Do we want a bigger table or do we want more channels? What do we want and what do we need to do? Barb, what do you think?
I guess in keeping with a food analogy, you throw as much spaghetti at the wall as you possibly can and hope as much as it will stick. I would say, you know, from a PR standpoint too, it's like bigger, better, faster, more. The more corners of rugs that are looked under, you know, it's like radio, print, television, social, every form and every format. Yet there's room for everyone of every ilk and every preference of color, et cetera, et cetera. So yes, let's get it out. I mean, you get that. It's great to have the bigs, you know, the NBCs, the CNBCs, the CNNs, et cetera, to have voices with big ones so that there is some sort of validation and gives it a bigger audience. But large or small, as long as there is an audience, so that that one person who feels a little bit different and doesn't, you know, feel good about themselves because their parents or their community is telling them otherwise, that they have a window to go and hear conversations like we're having now that tell them that they are validated, that they are important, and that their voice matters. So large and small, yes, absolutely.
How important is it for it to be authentic? How important is it to be quality content? And how do you balance out having both quality and authenticity? Not everybody's a natural broadcaster, and now everybody's a content producer. Where should we go? How do we align with those two things? Well, we want you here to do a good job.
Yeah, absolutely. And as more and more queer voices are heard, there's going to be more and more queer people that want to get into the industry. You know, somewhat like movies that were made in the 1920s, and then Star Wars comes along. I mean, the difference there is astronomical. Right. And so, you know, you're going to have that quality. Everyone's got to start somewhere. And the more queer broadcasting and broadcasters and channels, as twere, both digital and standard formats that there are, the more people will want to get into it. And then the more they get into it, you know, the more that will take a professional training. And, you know, so I just think as long as there's a voice in the table, that voice will expand, you know, and grow. And we're seeing it now. There's a lot, you know, voices that we didn't necessarily have before, especially because of the digital age.
Hey, Max, can you imagine if we did a show like Chopped, where instead of it being about the crazy ingredients, it had a panel of gay connoisseurs
who I'd be all over that.
What?
I'd be all over that.
Don't you think we should be doing a show like this, Max?
You know,
I think we need to
back up to your previous question. You know, there's that wonderful quote from Auntie Mame that says, life is a banquet and most suckers are starving half to death. Right. Yeah. And so what does that mean if life is a banquet? You're starving because you're not being inclusive. You're starving because you're not saying to those, I see you, I hear you, you matter. You're starving because the seat that's at the table waiting for you, you can't separate your indifferences with. So that banquet, you know, that Delmonico banquet or all are welcome to the table, means that there's chairs at the table waiting for you to open up your heart space and have compassion, to bring kindness to the table, to break anything that you were taught, you know, these patterns and pathologies that were taught in life. It's time to break them and destroy them, because what they're doing is they're leaving a place for you at the table that you won't come to. So I encourage people to go into this week to really start looking at patterns and pathologies in their life to break them, so that when we do shows like tonight, the table that's here, that's the banquet, the chair that's waiting for you, you feel comfortable joining us at. So I'm down for anything, Jennifer. You know that.
Well, before we wrap up, I want to, as they do on the Hot Wings show, which is still one of my favorite shows anywhere, even though I can't even tell you what channel it's on anymore. They've done 20 seasons of the Hot Wings Challenge, bringing celebrities in to eat very spicy food and ask them even hotter questions. They say, I want to do something like this and say at the end of that show where they say, Barb, what are you working on? Give you the mic for a second and say, Barb, what are you working on and where can we find you and what's in store for Pride? I almost want to have you back next week just to talk about what's going to happen in the rest of the month for Pride.
Yeah, because ours is coming up at the first week of August. Because it coincides here in Vancouver, British Columbia, with BC Day, which is a provincial holiday. And for the first time in 26 years, I will not be directly putting the parade on in some way or another. The last 5 or 6 years, I've been doing the worldwide streaming broadcast. And they repackage it, and it goes across Canada to Out Television. So I'm going to go and take my charcuterie whoring self up to a beautiful lake and cabin. And I am going to be prideless this year. I'm getting out of Dodge. I am going to go relax. I've earned it after 26 years of work. And, you know, it is a massive, massive affair. Back then it was like, you know, three drag queens in a shopping cart. And now it's, you know, six figures and counting, and I want to go and enjoy with some good wine, a great charcuterie platter, and wonderful conversation on a lake.
Tell everybody where they can hear your radio show each and every week.
Absolutely. It's Queer FM Vancouver. It's 101.9 if you're locally here in Vancouver, or you can get it worldwide streaming, and we have archive podcasts of all our previous shows at Queer FM Van, and that's on CITR Radio, CITR.ca, and then it's Queer FM Van, and we also have Spotify with literally hundreds of 2S LGBTQIA plus performers of music, so that's also at Queer FM Van.
Max Tucci, the host of Max and Friends for the last 15 years, right here on LA Talk Radio on Sunday suppers when I'm at the helm. Take it.
So I love you, Jennifer. Thank you all for being here tonight. I'm out of here. You know, today we had this little mishap at the farm, and I know Sam is like, wrap it up. I'm wrapping it up. But yeah, so I'm off to Colorado. We're shooting a show for HGTV this week there at the Colorado House. I can't really say much about that until more, until we film it and more, I can tell more. But so I'm off to Colorado. And then for the first time, I'm going to the Grand Canyon. So I'm doing the same as you, Bar. I'm taking some time to, as Whoopi would say, to take a little time to enjoy the view.
Exactly.
And Akash Patel, where can we find you on social media?
You can find me under NYC Akash anywhere and everywhere. And I'm so excited that Max is going to be reviving the legacy of Delmonico's. I can't wait to hear more, Max.
Yeah, Thank you.
And Jennifer, where can we find you?
Right here, every Sunday at 8 p.m. on LA Talk Radio. I'm Jennifer English. Thank you so much for joining us today. And as Sam wraps it up, I say thank you, and please have a really brilliant and blessed week. And know that everything we've done is for the greatest good of everyone concerned. And please go forward this week with nothing but love, unconditional love.
Absolutely.
At our table for you next
Thank you,
week.
Jennifer.
Thank you.
And what I have to say is, remember, peace, love, good night, and good karma. Yeah.